Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're really digging into something quite stressful in professional services. Solicitor insurance claims.
Yeah, they're a big deal.
Absolutely. I mean, these claims, they don't just hit the finances. They can absolutely kill a reputation. You know, years of client trust gone because of one mistake.
That's true.
So our aim today is simple. Give you a kind of shortcut, a clear look at the biggest risks, and importantly, a tech solution experts are talking about right now.
That's exactly it. We're basing this on some pretty solid risk management analysis, looking closely at claims data, including findings from Willis Towers Watson.
Okay.
And that data, it's very direct. It paints a really clear picture of where law firms are, well, losing money.
Right. Let's cut through the guesswork then. What's the data actually telling us? Where are the real pressure points?
Okay. So the analysis basically shows that liability risk, it really comes down to two main types of claims.
Two key areas.
Yes. The number one spot, the most frequent claims, they're related to advisory activities and professional services.
Ah, so the advice itself. The core legal product, really.
Precisely. And then, running a very, very close second, you've got process errors.
Process errors, okay.
So if you're running a firm, your risk is essentially twofold. Either the professional judgment call was flawed somehow, or the actual execution of the paperwork side got messed up.
That distinction feels incredibly important.
It is.
So our mission today is to unpack these two big risk categories. We'll use some real-world examples, pretty eye-watering ones, actually.
Yeah, some costly ones.
And then we'll look at the technological answer that seems to be gaining traction. Document automation. How it tackles both these problems.
Right. Let's dive into the biggest category first, then. Advisory and professional service claims. These go right to the heart of professional duty.
And when we talk about this category, we mean things like allegations of negligence.
Right.
Or misrepresentation. Basically failing the client because the advice was just wrong or incomplete.
Exactly. It's when the client looks back and thinks, the plan you gave me just didn't work. And to really get the gravity of this, you need a real-world example. We've got one from the sources involving a high-stakes construction project.
Oh, yeah.
The solicitor was brought in for loan negotiations and, crucially, to give advice on the project itself.
Right. Construction projects.
Yeah.
Always walk into financial tightrope, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Cash flow is everything.
It absolutely is. In this case, the client had disputes with their general contractor over payments. So the solicitor stepped in trying to structure a fix.
Makes sense.
They came up with a detailed term sheet. It was meant to manage how funds were distributed, set clear timelines for work, you know, the whole deal.
Okay.
And this sheet, it was signed by the bank, the client, and the contractor. It was supposed to calm things down.
Sounds like they ticked the boxes, tried to secure the client.
You'd think so, but unfortunately, the framework itself had a fatal flaw. A few months down the line, the contractor just walked off the job.
Oh, no.
Having already collected a pretty substantial chunk of the money from the client. But the real killer blow, that came when the client got hit with multiple mechanics liens from subcontractors and suppliers.
Okay, hold on. For listeners maybe not deep in property law every day, what exactly is a mechanics lien?
Right. Think of it like a financial claim or a charge directly against the property itself.
Okay.
So if a supplier or a subbie doesn't get paid by the main contractor, they can put a legal claim on the building, on the land.
Wow. So the client, who thought their solicitor had built this ironclad cash flow protection.
Exactly. They were now on the hook not just for paying the main contractor, but also for all the contractor's unpaid bills to other people.
That's devastating.
Yeah.
The whole legal strategy, the advice on structuring the money flow just failed completely. But hang on.
Yeah.
Isn't managing complex cash flow exactly what you pay a premium for in these projects? Is this just inherent risk? Or did the firm actively maybe cut corners?
That's the crucial point the sources raise. It's complex, yes, but the data suggests these failures often come from more than just simple mistakes. It's about inadequate documentation, a failure to really think through every possible risk.
Hmm.
And the sources really stress this. The claims that result, they involve huge payouts, settlement costs, plus massive legal fees just defending the firm.
Right. So if flawed advice is risk area number one, let's pivot. What about the second category, the execution problems? Process errors.
Process errors. Yeah, these are often incredibly frustrating because they just feel so preventable.
Like simple slip-ups.
Exactly. Execution mistakes, missing a deadline, a drafting error in a contract, filing documents with the wrong court. You know, basic administrative failures.
Right.
Things like failing to register security interests properly or just forgetting to file a crucial document before the time limit runs out.
And what's behind these? An environment supposedly obsessed with detail. Why do these procedural things keep happening? Is it just people getting tired?
It's usually a mix of systemic things, actually. Mm. The main culprits identified are manual data entry mistakes, easy to detect the wrong number.
Yep.
Miscommunication, critical details getting lost between people or departments. And sometimes, just not enough oversight on increasingly complex procedures.
And the fallout.
It's immediate. Lost cases, delays, financial penalties. It can be severe.
We have a perfect example, don't we? That drafting error that cost a client big time.
Yeah.
The lease renewal claim. Tell us about that one.
Oh, yeah. This is a classic. A textbook case of how one misplaced clause can create enormous liability.
Okay.
So a client tells their solicitor, renew our commercial lease, 10-year standard stuff, but add a 5-year extension option. Crucially, the client is clear. That option must be at our discretion. The tenant wants the flexibility.
Naturally. That flexibility is valuable, worth paying for.
Absolutely.
Right.
But somewhere in the drafting process, just an oversight, that power, the discretion to trigger the extension was accidentally given to the landlord.
Oh, you can see where this is going?
Yep. Fast forward 10 years, the client's ready to move. They've built shiny new premises across town. They're all set to leave.
And the landlord suddenly realizes they're holding a golden ticket.
Bingo. The landlord whips out that accidental option, that single procedural drafting mistake, and forces the lease extension. The client is now stuck paying rent on a property they desperately want out of.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just one word, essentially, creates potentially years of forced rent, unwanted overhead. Did the source say if anyone caught it? Like, was there a review, or did it only surface 10 years later?
It only came to light right at the end when the client tried to terminate and the landlord said, ah. Actually.
Unbelievable.
It just shows how these little procedural time bombs can sit there, dormant in the paperwork for years, then explode into a massive claim.
The lesson seems pretty stark then. What? Whether it's bad advice or a simple process slip up, the results can be incredibly expensive.
Undeniably.
So how do we break this cycle? If these risks are sort of baked into manual human legal work, what's the sustainable fix? The cost-effective one?
The answer that really comes through in the analysis is document automation.
Okay.
And this isn't just glorified word processing. It's technology using pre-approved, consistently structured templates plus smart logic to create high-quality legal documents.
Right.
It's a direct intervention. It systematically reduces both those big risk categories we've just been talking about.
Okay, let's tackle the scary one first, the advisory risk. How does a template system fundamentally improve the quality of legal advice? That seems counterintuitive almost.
Well, it tackles the risk by enforcing consistency and comprehensiveness.
How so?
When you draft manually, a solicitor is relying totally on their memory, their own precedents, maybe a firm handbook somewhere.
Sure.
An automated system ensures the advice within the documents, the clauses, the specific wording, the risk stuff, it's all consistent with the firm's absolute latest best practices.
So it acts like a built-in expert guide.
Yeah.
Even for very experienced lawyers.
It really does. As the user creates the document, the system guides them through a kind of checklist.
Mm.
So instead of leaving crucial decisions maybe to chance or memory, the solicitor is actually forced to turn their mind to each important point, as the sources put it.
Right.
So in our construction example, a good system would have had mandatory questions about fund distribution, about LIN protection. It could have prevented that oversight.
That accountability layer seems key.
And it also improves client communication, which helps minimize those misrepresentation claims.
Oh.
Well, the sources mentioned case studies, like one at Pawson Law. Their system created automated daily summaries of case status pulled right from the document data.
Clever.
Yeah. It drastically cut the chances of a client feeling out of the loop or neglected or feeling like they were misrepresented. Better communication just means fewer reasons to claim negligence.
Makes sense. Okay, let's switch back to process errors then. The missed deadlines, the drafting foul-ups. How does automation become the ultimate admin cleanup crew?
For process errors, the fix is maybe more obvious, but it's incredibly effective. Think about it.
Yeah.
Every document created has critical dates in it.
Deadlines, waiver dates, termination dates.
Yeah. Automation can extract that data instantly when the document is created.
And actually use it. Turn it into something actionable instead of just text buried in a PDF somewhere.
Exactly. The system uses that data to send automated reminders for key deadlines.
Uh-huh.
No more relying on manual calendar entries, which, let's face it, is where things go wrong. Missed filings, conditions not met because someone forgot. Automation helps prevent that. It ensures things get satisfied or waived. Filings are on time.
And presumably it stops those specific, costly drafting errors, like the lease example.
Yes, definitely. Through template-based drafting, it physically prevents a solicitor from accidentally dragging that crucial discretion clause from the tenant section to the landlord section.
Right.
It enforces consistency across every single document the firm produces. Those one-off but devastating errors become practically impossible.
Plus just simple error checking, I guess.
Absolutely. Automation is like the ultimate quality control layer. Before anything is finalized, the system runs checks. Is information missing? Is the formatting wrong? Are there data inconsistencies? It's a comprehensive QA check that's just really, really hard for a human reviewer to maintain consistently, especially under pressure, rushing for a deadline.
Okay, this is where, for me, it gets really interesting. Automation catching things, nuances, legal ambiguities that even a sharp, experienced human drafter might just miss in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that will drafting example. It sounds simple on the surface, but apparently hides huge potential problems.
It's a perfect illustration, this one. It shows how automation forces the user to clarify intent right down to the small details.
Okay, walk us through it.
So imagine a standard will, simple gift, $200,000 to be split equally between two people, say, Mary and Sam.
Easy, $100K each, clear as day.
Right, unambiguous. Now, the person making the will, the testator, updates it. The gift amount is the same, $200,000, but now it's to be split equally between Mary and my children. And let's say there are three children.
Okay, so now you've got four potential recipients, Mary plus the three kids.
Exactly. And that simple change, if you're not careful, introduces significant legal ambiguity.
Why? Because the original split was between two named entities, Mary and Sam,
right.
But now it's one person and a class of people, the children.
Precisely. The problem is, how do you interpret the client's intent now? There are two completely different ways it could go.
Okay.
Option one, Mary gets half, $100K, and the three children share the other half, $100K between them. Or option two, the gift is divided into four equal shares, meaning Mary gets $50, and each of the three children also gets $50.
Wow. Okay, that's a $50,000 difference just for Mary, depending on the interpretation.
Huge difference. And a manual drafter, maybe rushing, maybe just relying on standard phrasing, could easily overlook that specific ambiguity.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
Which could then lead to a massive claim, costly court battles after the testator is gone, trying to figure out what they really meant.
So how does automation fix this?
Well, this is the clever part. When the system sees that kind of gift structure dividing between a named individual and a class like children, it flags it. It displays a mandatory question.
Mandatory.
Yes, you can't proceed without answering it. It asks something specific, like, is this gift intended to be distributed on a per capita basis?
Per capita, meaning?
Per capita just means by head. So split the money evenly by the total number of individual people, regardless of whether they're named or part of a class. The system provides guidance, explains the options, and forces the solicitor to make a conscious, documented choice right there and then, option one or option two.
So it stops the potential claim dead in its tracks by demanding clarity at the point the document is created.
Exactly. It prevents the ambiguity from ever existing in the final document.
That's incredibly powerful. So document automation, it's clearly not just a time saver. It's about, well, fundamentally boosting accuracy, making sure compliance is met, and slashing the risk of these huge, costly claims, both the advisory ones and the process ones.
Yeah.
It's like using technology to genuinely safeguard professional integrity.
I think that's a fair way to put it. And if you connect this back to the bigger picture, that simple will example, it tells us something quite profound about manual legal drafting.
Oh, so?
Well, if a change that common dividing a gift between a person and a group hides such significant ambiguity that only specialized automation reliably flags and fixes.
Then it really makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For everyone listening.
Exactly. What other overlooked nuances, what other subtle risks might be lurking right now in your everyday manually drafted legal documents? Your standard contracts, complex agreements, the basic paperwork. hidden deep inside routine procedures?
And crucially, what potential financial liability might those silent, unflagged ambiguities be quietly building up for your firm or your organization right now? It really encourages you to think about the hidden cost of just sticking with the old ways.